Before we get into this episode of The Library of Lost Time, we want to tell you about a podcast we think you'll like, or more accurately, tell you about it again.
Yeah, we've talked about Play On Podcasts before. It's a show that reimagines Shakespeare's stories with original music and the voices of award-winning actors.
I really love when modern people reinterpret Shakespeare, when they update the language and they kind of guide us non-Elizabethan people through the story in a way that makes it make more sense to the modern way we think about things.
Yeah, and the reframing is usually really interesting, right? If you take it Shakespeare out of the Elizabethan world and move it into something else, it takes a different shine to it.
Yeah.
And I love what Play On Podcast did with Macbeth. They used a modern English verse translation that made it feel fresh and new. They've also done Pericles, A Midsummer Night's Dream, King Lear. The current production is Measure for Measure.
One of the other things that makes Play On Podcast really fun is that they encourage you to listen to the show through headphones.
Yeah.
So you get the full effect. They've done some magic with the sound. So when I listened to Macbeth, it sounded like the witches were standing behind me, kind of chanting in my ear.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Full stereo separation.
Yeah.
Lots of audio
really
tricks.
Fun.
If you're interested, you can subscribe to Play On Podcasts wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, a holiday audiobook from a beloved author.
The second book in a highly anticipated trilogy arrives.
Plus, our distraction of the week. I'm Mel.
I'm Dave. This is The Library of Lost Time.
I think a lot of our audience is probably familiar with the journalist and author Bill Bryson.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he's written 19 books about travel, science, the English language, and Shakespeare.
Yeah.
The book that made him most famous is Notes from a Small Island. That's his travelogue about exploring Great Britain. He also wrote a memoir about walking the Appalachian Trail called A Walk in the Woods.
Yeah.
In 2020, he announced that he was retired. He said that he was really quite enjoying not doing anything at all. But fans of Bill Bryson and Christmas have a reason to celebrate. He unretired to write a new book.
Oh.
And it's all about Christmas traditions. It's an audiobook from Audible Originals, and he's narrating it himself. It's called The Secret History of Christmas.
That's really nice. So you get a little holiday visit from Bill Bryson.
Yeah. He has an eagle eye for details and an ear for what makes a great story, and he's applying all of that to Christmas traditions. Because he's lived in the UK for quite a long time, a handful of them are kind of British holiday traditions like mince pie and Christmas crackers and Boxing Day. But he will also answer the burning questions, what's the deal with Good King Wenceslas? And who was Santa Claus really? He made a video to promote the book. It's five things he recommends everyone do at Christmas. Number one, as you might expect, was give thanks for all we've got, which, yes, okay, of course.
You said it so belligerently.
Because number three is where he really got me.
Okay.
Number three is be gluttonous. We're going to the United States in early December, and I think this will be the perfect audiobook for our road trip from Pennsylvania to Ohio. It's The Secret History of Christmas by Bill Bryson. It's available now from Audible.
Chuck Wendig has a new book out.
I love Chuck Wendig.
Yeah, same.
As a person and as a writer. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I follow him on Twitter and his blog.
Agree.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, and he seems like a lovely person.
He does.
If you don't know Chuck, like we do, Chuck is a prodigious author of fantasy and sci-fi and action adventure, but I also think he's just a good guy. He'd be an author I'd like to know.
He also writes a lot about the craft of writing in a way that's really accessible and supportive and funny. He's very funny.
And encouraging. He is very like, sure.
Join the club. Come on in. Yes.
I think 70 years ago, Wendig would have been grouped in with the pulp fiction writers, people like Edgar Rice Burroughs and Mickey Spillane. In his past books, Wendig has written a series about a girl who can see the death of anyone she touches. He's written a very successful series of novels set in the Star Wars universe. One of those had a gay man as the lead character, controversially for some. And right now, he's two books into a planned post-apocalyptic trilogy. The first one, Wanderers, came out in 2019. It starts with a bunch of people sleepwalking to somewhere in the United States. a place that only they know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reviews compared it favorably to Emily Mandel's St. John's Station 11.
A favorite around here.
Yep. The book also had a plug from Aaron Morgenstern, the author of The Night Circus. And it was one of the year's best books for the Washington Post and NPR.
So people liked it.
It did all right. The second book in that series is called Wayward, and it just came out. I will not give you the setup in case you want to read the first one. But as the plug said, as great as Wanderers was, Wayward is better.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So it's almost 800 pages of what I suspect is a rip-roaring yarn. It is Wayward by Chuck Wendig, and it's out now. And now, our distraction of the week.
I recently learned about something magical and new to me from our friend Ellen Yeomans. She's a brilliant children's book author, and she's done a ton of traveling in Europe.
And a very dear friend of ours.
She is. And because she's such a good friend,
yeah,
she told us about the German fairy tale route. I had no idea this thing existed. It's 373 miles long. That's 600 kilometers. And it celebrates the Brothers Grimm. So in case you are the rare person who's not familiar with Wilhelm and Jacob, they were German brothers who took bookishness very seriously. They were cultural researchers, lexicographers, and philologers.
Philologers?
Philologers.
Those are people who take pictures of philanderers?
Philology is the study of language in oral and written historical sources, which makes these nerdy brothers perfectly suited for what they did. They collected oral folktales, wrote them down, and published them. Their first book came out in 1812.
Yep.
And we have them to thank for Cinderella, Rapunzel, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and dozens of other fairy tales.
Yeah. Where would Disney be without the Brothers Grimm?
Exactly. So back to the fairy tale route. It starts in Hanau in central Germany and goes to Bremen up by the North Sea. And along the way, you can visit the medieval towns where the Brothers Grimm lived and worked. Also, this is the best part. You can explore the places featured in the fairy tales that they collected. So my first thought, of course, was that we could go on the fairy tale route to a witch's house.
Sure.
Would you be surprised to learn that they do not promote a witch's house on the official website?
That's a little disappointing, but also no, not surprised.
Once I got over my immediate dejection,
right,
I realized that there are lots of other really good things to see and experience.
Yeah.
For example, you can go to the town of Kassel, which sounds like castle.
It does. Very
it's right
much.
There in the
it's
name.
It's right there, yeah.
That's where the brothers went to university, and it's where they wrote the classics Sleeping Beauty and Little Red Riding Hood and Hansel and Gretel. In the center of town is a museum called Grimworld, or Grimwelt. It has interactive exhibits about the brothers and their stories. In addition, you can't throw a rock in Kassel without hitting a castle, including Wilhelmshöhe Palace, which has the world's largest collection of Rembrandt paintings.
Oh.
And it stands looking over a beautiful Baroque garden called Bergpark. That means mountain park in German. The park winds up a wooded hillside, and it's famous for its water fountains that cascade down the hill underneath a monument to Hercules that stands on top of a grotto. I mean, the photos are amazing. I'll put a link in show notes, of course.
Okay.
You can also visit the town of Alsfeld that has gone all in on Little Red Riding Hood. You can visit her house. There are cobbled lanes and half-timbered houses everywhere you turn. You can take a fairy tale tour with a guide that tells you the secrets of the town during the day. Or you can book an evening tour that's guided by a night watchman who takes you through the alleys where you can meet up with an executioner or a grave digger if you want.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You can meet a grave digger in a fairy tale village?
I mean, if you're brave enough.
And live to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. All told, there are 60 towns along the route. There are palaces and forests, museums, flowery meadows, enchanted bridges, and I can only assume a werewolf, some elves, and a princess with really, really long hair.
And a witch they don't tell you about.
There will be lots of links and show notes to videos, the map, the website, photographs, everything you need.
All multimedia experience.
To virtually enjoy the fairy tale route and plan your trip in real life.
Great.
visit strongsenseofplace.com/library for more details about the books we discussed and to take a look at the German fairy tale route.
Thanks for joining us in the Library of Lost Time. Remember to visit your local library and your independent bookstore to lose some time yourself.
Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon.